Amen. 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 Thank you, baby. Thank you. Thank you. Amen. What a great promise from the Lord that He will never leave us or forsake us. Hallelujah, Lord. Amen. Well, good morning, church family. I'm Dr. Jewel. You know who I am. And for those of you who don't, I'm Dr. Jewel. And I am the worship pastor. And thank you, worship team, for blessing our souls on this morning. Oh, my goodness. And for those of you online that think I completely missed my cue, I just switched on you, okay? And I will be delivering the word this morning in Pastor Chris's absence. Pastor Chris, wherever you are in this big, big, huge world, I hope you are enjoying your birthday weekend. Happy birthday to you, Pastor Chris, and we are praying that God will bless you with many, many more. I have a question. Do we have any other July birthdays in the house? Oh my, okay, if this is your birthday, will you stand for a minute? July babies, because I'm a July baby. Amen. Praise, happy birthday to you, our July birthdays. I'm so excited about that. And before I preach, I just want to take some time to celebrate the efforts of the outreach ministry under LaSonya Thompson. Yesterday was a blessing. Our outreach department is incredible. And so in collaboration with Covenant Press, man, Next Gen, Divine Connection, the women's ministry, our elders, deacons, security team, you all, we prepped for Bless Fest on yesterday. And thank you for the incredible work that each of you all did. There is nothing more exciting to me than to see multi-generational, everybody, young, old, working together to accomplish the kingdom agenda. That is a beautiful, beautiful sight to see. And yesterday we saw it at its finest. Pastor Felicia and Char, man, they cooked for us. We had spaghetti. We had all kinds. Y'all, God is good and He is faithful. And so thank you so much for feeding us. And thank you for just a beautiful morning of service on yesterday. And again, Bless Fest is coming up. That is for you all. Like, what is Bless Fest? I don't want to assume everyone knows, because we have people listening to us everywhere. Bless Fest is our annual community service event that we do here and that we sponsor in collaboration with ministries all across Nashville to bring free services to the community, to people. And so on Thursday, we will be conducting our Bless Fest, and we're giving away everything, you all. We're giving away toiletries, food, goods, services, furniture, haircuts, you name it, we are giving it away. So it's a beautiful thing. We have Bless Fest and we have the Urban League doing what they're doing. Y'all, and guess what? Our very own Clifton Harris, who is the CEO, we are just grateful for the Lord's hand on what He is doing in this community. And so you all, God is good. We're doing some great things here at Strong Tower Bible Church. So, all right, this is what I want you to do, okay? If it's not an inconvenience for you, will you do me a favor? If you are able and it's not a physical inconvenience, could you stand on your feet and let's honor God in a different way by standing, reading, and reverencing the Word of God as they did in the Old Testament? Okay, y'all, as I get older, the more I realized the need to renew my mind, even in the way I approach the Word of God. Because if you and I don't watch it, our encounters, even with the Word of God, will become mundane, informal, irreverent, and we will allow text messaging and Facebook to overtake our worship, even on Sunday morning. Okay? I know it because I've done it. Okay? All right? So point number one, it's never too late for us to reassess and realign how we do things. Okay? And that should be the heart's desire for every believer in the house. So the scripture for today can be found in Matthew 5:13 and Ephesians 2 and 10. We're going to start with Ephesians 2 and 10. When you have it, say amen. If it's going to be on the screen, we'll wait on it. If it's in your phone, let's go get it, because I know you know where to find it, all right? Amen. All right, I'm going to give you a moment to do that. All right. And the scripture reads as follows, Ephesians 2 and 10. For we are, will you read it with me? Come on, let's read together. Ready? For we are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do. Amen. Amen. Now let's go to Matthew 5 and 13. All right, you ready? Here we go. You are the salt of the earth. But if the salt loses its saltiness, how can it be made salty again? All right, I don't know if that's right, but hey, I'm going to say it because I need to be clear. You are the salt of the earth, but if the salt loses its saltiness, how can it be made salty again? It is no longer good for anything except to be thrown out and trampled underfoot. The word of God for the people of God. Praise be to God. You may be seated. The sermon title today is a little risque, but it is what it is. All right? Y'all expect that from me, so we're good. The sermon title today is When Salt Ain't Salty No More. Rediscovering your identity. Restoring your purpose. I'm going to say it again. The sermon title is When Salt Ain't Salty No More. Rediscovering your identity, restoring your purpose. Let us pray. Father God, I need you. May the words from my mouth and the meditations of my heart be acceptable in your sight. Oh God, my rock and my redeemer. Thank you, God, for letting someone like me and trusting someone like me to do something like this for people that you gave your life for. I'm humbled. I'm nervous, but I'm so excited because you know the desires of my heart. So Lord, will you bless this encounter as I share your word with your people for your glory? Will you allow us to experience your presence in a way that's unique and special? And will you teach and realign us today on our identity and purpose in you so that we may represent you well in the earth. I ask this in the matchless name of Jesus, and let the church say, amen, amen, amen. Amen. Y'all all right this morning? Yes. I love it, all right. Well, look, full disclosure, I hope you're gonna let me be me, all right? So I'm just gonna do what I do and be how I be, all right? Now, my grandmother was the inspiration for this sermon title. And my grandmother was an incredible chef. And I could remember her taking her seat at the head of the table because I was raised by women, okay? So she would take her seat at the head of the dining room table that was full of fine china, because every meal that we ate, we had to eat it on china. Every fork in place, every glass, it had, and I was the one responsible for setting the table, all right? And she would make these homemade desserts. And we would eat them, but every now and then, she would sit at the table and she would wear this frustrated look on her face. And she would shake her head and tilt it to the side and she would say, "Sugar ain't sweet no more. Sugar ain't sweet no more." Now, y'all, and some of y'all looking at me because y'all feel the same way. As a little girl, I would look at her like she lost her mind. Because I remember thinking, how in the world can sugar lose its sweetness? Because sugar is sugar. But I'm here to tell you, 50 years later, I find myself wearing that same concerned expression on my face, not as I'm tasting a dessert, but as I'm looking at the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. As I observe the lives of many who confess and profess Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, I finally understand that my grandmother was trying to say the issue wasn't that the sugar had changed, the sweetness was missing. And in much that same way, you all, I look at the church today and sometimes wonder, has the salt lost its saltiness? Not because Christ has changed, not because the gospel has lost its power, not because too many, believer, it's not because of that, y'all. But it's because too many believers who carry his name no longer reflect his character. We still have the label of Christianity, but in too many places, we've lost the distinctiveness that causes the world to taste and see through our lives that the Lord is good. Okay. Jesus said, "You are the salt of the earth." My question today is this. If our lives were to be tasted today, would people recognize the flavor of Christ? Or, if you will allow me to create this visual, okay? And if our lives were a culinary dish, when it was tasted by our family, our friends, and our community, would they say, "Can you please pass the salt?" Would they say, "You look and smell good, but you need some more salt"? No judgment. This is just a random search that I pray that you and me are allowing the Holy Spirit to conduct in this moment. Because as people of God, we are fearfully and wonderfully made. But we aren't perfect, okay? We come to church, you all, to get refined. So I pray today that when we leave here, that we are re-identified with our identity, realign with our purpose, so that we can reflect the flavor of Christ in the earth. Is that all right with you? So some of you may be asking, Why this sermon, Pastor Jay? Well, when Pastor Chris asked me to preach, of course I asked God, what do I need to talk about? And he dropped this topic in my spirit. But then, you know, over time, I start thinking maybe I need to preach on another topic. But then one day, I was riding down the highway and I saw this picture, the unsalted life. And I said, yes, Lord, I will preach on us being salt, all right? So y'all, I don't care about anybody. This message is for me, all right? This message for me. If y'all don't get nothing from this message for me, all right? So, many of you know that I have multiple roles, occupations, and responsibilities. You know it because you tease me about it all the time. You call me names, you call me all kinds of stuff because I do a lot of things, okay? But one of my occupations, for people that don't know, is that I am a psychiatric mental health nurse practitioner, okay? I'm a psych MP, all right? And part of my responsibilities as a psych MP, I am responsible for assessing, diagnosing, and treating mental illness, and for helping to facilitate mental health and wellness through evidence-based treatment, okay? That's one of my jobs, all right? I'm also a professor of mental health at UT Knoxville, where I'm attempting to train, help Jesus, the next generation of mental health providers. Over the past years, I am seeing a major common problem with so many people that come to my office, as well as those that I encounter in the community, as well as the church. It doesn't matter, you all, if they are rich, poor, black, white, old, young, male, female, that doesn't matter. This one common problem that I'm finding and I'm seeing that's very diverse is the fact that people are struggling with identity, belonging, purpose, and a stable sense of self. Okay? I'm gonna say it again. People are struggling with identity, belonging, purpose, and a stable sense of self. Look, to put it plainly, people are lost. And as a result, they are identifying with anything and everything and accepting anything and everything. They are scrapping for significance, relevance, value, and worth. That's what I'm seeing. Now, hear me and hear my heart. When I look at the world, I shouldn't be shocked when I see confusion about identity. I expect it, okay? I expect people who don't know Christ to search for significance in things that were never designed to define them. And if you don't know the one who created you, you'll spend your life searching for something to tell you who you are. But what I think is most concerning to me, and what is the driver for this sermon today, is that the church, the people of God, people that confess Jesus as Lord and Savior, are experiencing identity challenges as well. We don't know who we are. And that's a problem because you all, we have a daddy, okay? We aren't out here on these streets like Mari Povich's show in the spirit trying to figure out who our daddy is. We know who our daddy is. We have a father who has established our identity before the foundation of the earth. He chose us, adopted us, forgave us, saved us. We are part of a royal priesthood and a holy nation. We are purely complete, secure in him. We are valued and loved by him. We have his promises, his favor, and provision, and we have an assigned purpose and a kingdom impact that God prepared in advance for us to accomplish. So the church has no business out here on these streets wandering around identityless. Yeah, I made up a word. Identityless. Okay. But some kind of way, y'all, this debilitating spiritual illness has found its way into the church. So I'm going to challenge myself, and I'm inviting you this morning to rediscover and realign with our identity and purpose. Now, even though I just shared with you all who we are in Christ, and it's something that most of us have heard in our tenure as believers, unfortunately, you all, our lived experiences challenge our true alignment, faith, and confidence in our identity. If you and I can be honest today, we know intellectually who we are, but it doesn't automatically translate to active faith and obedience based on our identity. So let me just put it simply. What we know ain't translating to how we live it. Okay. So let me talk a little bit for a moment about identity, because we're at different levels of faith, right? And so some of us have been in church forever. Some of us are new. So I want to, what I call, level set, all right? Now, usually when I'm teaching, I will provide a definition of identity first so that all of us would have a baseline knowledge and something to work with. But today, I'm going to do something different. The Holy Spirit is having me to do something different. So I'm going to start this sermon a little different, okay? I'm going to talk about what identity is not, okay? Because the Holy Spirit impressed on my heart the need to make this reminder to the church in order to debunk the lies the enemy is trying to sell the church. And some of you may say debunk, you're trying to debunk. Yeah, I'm trying to expose the falseness or emptiness of a claim, belief, myth, or ideology, okay? That's what it's called. That's what debunking is. So I'm gonna expose the lie, okay, that the enemy has sold the church. So hang in here with me, okay, because this is for us, okay? Identity is not your title. It's not Dr., Mr., Mrs., Esquire, MD, DMP, MBA, PhD, or the rest of the alphabet behind your name or in front of your name. Those are your marital status and your educational accomplishments. And we celebrate them, but they are not your identity. It is not your occupation. You're not your position. Some people walk around, I'm CEO, I'm the VP, the nurse, the physician, the teacher, the entrepreneur, the pastor. Look, those are assignments. But those are not your identity. Okay. It's not your role in your family. You're not simply a husband, a wife, a mother, a father, a son, daughter, sister, brother, grandparent, or friend. Look, those relationships that God has entrusted to us, he has allowed us the opportunity to steward these roles and associations for his glory, but they do not define who we are. They were never meant to replace our role above our identity in Christ. It's not even your position or my position in ministry, y'all. Bishop, superintendent, apostle, pastor, elder, deacon, worship leader, musician, choir member. Look, those are callings and responsibilities that God has assigned for kingdom edification and advancement, that they are not our identity. It's not your organization you belong to and proudly represent. It's not Delta, Sigma, Theta, Alpha, Kappa, Alpha, Z, Phi, B, Alpha, Phi, Alpha, Omega, Psi, Phi, Kappa, Psi, Phi, the Lynx, Jack and Jill, Street Riders, Motorcycle Gang. It's none of that. Or any other organization. Those affiliations may tell us something about your community and your service commitment and values, and that may be nice, but they do not define or tell us who we are. It's not your financial status, whether you're wealthy, middle class, or struggling financially. Money is a worldly resource and it's needed. But your bank account does not determine your value and worth. Somebody needs to hear that this morning. Your bank account does not determine your value and worth, because you can have all the money in the world and be mentally, emotionally, and spiritually bankrupt. It's not the labels you wear or the brands you carry. It's not Hermes, Louis Vuitton, Chanel, Dior, Bottega Veneta. Y'all like, who that? Those are big brands, baby. And if you're gonna identify with a brand, at least pick one that appreciates in value. But even then, a designer label can never give you lasting worth. Okay. Oh, I'm coming down this street right here. It's not your educational pedigree, where you graduated, where your children go to school, or where they graduated, or where they're attending school, or their academic achievements and accolades. I know you're proud of them and should be grateful, and you're grateful for what God is allowed to happen in their lives and their role, and you know, but let me tell you something. That is not who you are. Okay? Because if you identify with that being who you are, then when they mess up, you done lost your identity, because you tied it to them. Okay? That's not your identity. Lastly, it's not your accomplishments, your trophies, your resume, your awards, your recognitions. It's not you passing or failing your board exams. Hear me, I celebrate every success and achievement with you. They represent hard work, sacrifice, commitment to excellence. I get all that. But in some cases, and in some cases, y'all, they do represent God's favor and God's provision and God's blessing, but they are not our identity. Hear me, there's absolutely, because some of y'all are like, look, hear me, because I feel some pushback in the spirits. But let me tell you something, hear me. There is absolutely nothing wrong with these things, and it's no problem with you having them, enjoying them, stewarding over them, contributing to them. But then the question is, do they have you? That's the question. So point number one of the enemy's greatest strategies that he uses to derail believers, to decrease our kingdom impact. I said our, because I'm preaching to me, y'all. One of the main strategies that he uses to decrease our kingdom impact is to convince us to build our identity on things that can be taken away, lost, or altered. In research, we call them variables, okay? Because if your identity and my identity is built on something that can be lost or changed, then the moment we lose it, our identity is challenged. Okay. Look, y'all, titles change, jobs end, money comes and goes, children grow up, get married, get mad, and disown us. All right, sometimes. Look, applause and fame fades. Fashion changes. They are all variables. But one thing that never changes is our identity in Christ. So I came up with a definition. Y'all, it's not comprehensive because y'all will look at it and be like, she missed something in there. I probably did, okay? But I want to give us a working definition of identity, okay? And a believer's identity can be defined kind of like this. We are God's chosen, redeemed, and dearly loved child, forgiven by his grace, and dwelt by the Holy Spirit, and called, gifted, and equipped to reflect the character and likeness of Christ while carrying out his purpose in the world for his glory. That's our identity, okay? So let me add one more thing to this. Our identity is not negotiable. It's non-negotiable, y'all. It's not part-time, full-time. Our identity is all the time. It's permanent. It's unchanging, it's eternally secure, fully complete, a priceless treasure, Christ-centered, kingdom-focused, and God-glorifying. That's our identity. Now, I need us to know this because, again, we're in different levels of our spiritual growth and maturity. So if you know this, hang on. If you don't know this, I want you to have confidence in this, that as a believer, okay, our identity is solely based on Christ's redemptive work on the cross for our sins and our position in him as the church. Y'all, it can't be earned or purchased. It's a free gift from God for those who place their faith in Jesus Christ, okay? So let me give a visual if you can imagine this. I'm Jewel Gibson, all right, before Christ. I call it BC, right? Jewel Gibson BC had a rap sheet of sin, the circumference of Nashville, honey, and beyond, okay? Okay? I was sin-laden, hell-bound. It is what it is. That was my rap sheet, right? Jewel Gibson, okay? But if you can imagine this, when we give our hearts to the Lord, our spiritual identity, see, you don't physically change, but your spiritual identity changes. And if you can look at it like this, instead of me being Jewel Gibson, the old wild crazy girl that, you know, that, hey, it is with you, my rap sheet long, when I give my heart to the Lord, I become, if you will, Jewel Gibson in Christ. My rap sheet, y'all, you can't find that old identity in the spirit, okay? Can't find it. Old Jewel Gibson gone, baby. So if you try to pull that up and hold it against me in the court of spiritual law, you can't do it because my identity has changed. I am now Jewel Gibson in Christ with all of the rights and privileges of being in Christ, all right? Now, even though this new identity is a gift from God for those who put their faith in Jesus, I need to let you know this, because this is a challenge right here, that new identity comes, it's free, but it comes with great responsibility, okay? Membership has its privileges, but it also has its responsibilities, okay? You don't just recklessly maneuver and walk in a new identity in Christ, okay? We grow and we learn things about our identity so that we can represent our identity well in the earth, amen? Okay, now, Jesus knew that we would need help in doing this. So he sent us God, Holy Spirit, to walk with us daily so that we could have the power and strength to identify with Christ and represent his principles and statutes here on the earth. So Holy Spirit helps us to walk out our identity in Christ. So I'm going to transition to point number two, okay? And I pray that you are able to receive this, all right? The enemy could care less about us identifying with Christ as long as we don't act like it. I'm going to say this again. He don't care nothing about you identifying with Christ and me identifying as long as we don't act like it, okay? You can wear your cross. You can wear your beautiful all-in strong tower shirt. You can come to church, lift your hands and worship, drink some good coffee by the coffee ministry, praise the Lord. As long as you don't represent, or as long as you misrepresent your identity in Christ, he loves that. So, one of the concepts I want to introduce to you, as I've introduced it myself, the Lord gave me this, is he called identity dilution. Okay? All right. Identity dilution is the gradual weakening of a believer's confidence and manifestation of their identity in Christ by attaching temporary earthly roles, titles, achievements, possessions, relationships, or social status to it. Simply put, identity dilution is the adding on of competing identities that weaken the believer's dependence and assurance of their identity in Christ, compromising their kingdom impact. All right, so let me tell you what I got here. Some of y'all are like, y'all, you talking too much. I need a visual. I'm a visual learner, okay? So as professors, we got to do all kinds of stuff to help with our visual learners. So, imagine this. Whoops. You know, I had to put red for the blood. Hey, glory. All right? Okay. So imagine this as your identity in Christ, okay? Now, your identity in Christ never leaves, okay? Once you identify with Christ, you locked in, baby, okay? Until Christ, you locked in, all right? I'm locked in. But let me tell you what happens to the believer over time. This is your job. This is your family. This is your worldly responsibilities. This is all the stuff that you done added on to your identity. Okay. What happens? You're still in Christ, but you're diluted. Okay? It was concentrated. Your identity in Christ used to be concentrated, right? Everything you did, you concerned yourself with God's glory being manifested in and through you. But as you undergo dilution over time, your assurance of your identity in Christ becomes weaker. Somebody said it over there. It gets weaker and weaker. So you know what happens? You start seeing all the other things. You can't even see who you are in Christ because it's masked by the other things that you've added on. Am I making any sense? Okay. So let me give you some examples of how we do this. Okay. So let's take the workplace. Let's give some practical, like we do case studies in school, right? Okay, so let me do a case study. All right, so you got this job, right? Now, you're a beloved child of God, and you know that I'm loved by God. You singing all the songs, I'm loved by him, it's who I am. Like you doing all, like you know. You're a beloved child of God. But over time, in the workplace, the enemy whispers, no, you're your career. You're your career. And now what happens? Who you are in Christ becomes diluted. You start taking your eye off of the potency of the power of your identity in Christ. And you're diluted with the career, right? So now your mental, physical, and spiritual health is challenged because you're now consumed with promotions, performance reviews, deliverables, deadlines, titles, achievements, and results. Okay? So we ask you, if God wanted you to turn the corner and do something else, you're so diluted with who you are in Christ that now everything that you are is tied to your position in the workplace. Okay? Ooh, I feel something. Oh, y'all all right? Okay. God forbid if you lose that job, if you lose that contract, if you lose that business, you don't just think I lost my job, you think I lost me. Okay. Then you become depressed, bitter, you become negative, and you become critical. You struggle to believe that you have kingdom value and purpose. My friend, you have just experienced identity dilution. Okay. Let me throw another one out here. Success. Okay? The Bible says our value comes from being children of God. We are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation. But the enemy says your value comes from outperforming and outworking everybody else. Now, you struggle with resting. You struggle with celebrating other people. You constantly compare yourself and you always feel behind. You know why? Because your dependence has shifted. And instead of depending on God's complete acceptance of you, you're depending on your performance, your organization, your skills, your attaboys to affirm who you are. My friend, you have just been diluted, okay? Okay. And the enemy loves it. So y'all, let me tell you what I've done now. Last week, Pastor Chris told us to tell it. He told us that we need to start telling our testimonies, okay? And he said, no matter what they look like, y'all, that y'all supposed to have grace and mercy on me when I tell it, okay? You ain't supposed to hold against me, so don't y'all. I know y'all going to do it anyway, but I'm telling y'all to walk in the spirit. You will not fulfill the desires of the flesh, all right? Okay. But let me tell you another dilution tactic. This one I use. I can't even believe I'm telling this story. All right, so this is how I diluted my kingdom impact. I did it on purpose, right? Because, you know, like I would say things like, I'm going to put my cross in my pocket. That means that my identity, I ain't even need you to see it because I'm going to put it back. And then I'm going to do what I'm going to do, and I'm going to bring my identity back again. Like I was switching identities. Y'all know because y'all do it too. All right, I'm just saying. Come on. Let's be real. All right, so I can't believe I'm telling this. So this is confession time. So back in the day, I had a violence and an anger management issue. Okay, I had a violence and an anger management issue. And I knew I wasn't supposed to act the way that I act and do the things that I did, but I did them anyway. It was kind of cathartic. Like, I love fighting. Y'all know me. Like, I love fighting. I felt like I contributed positively to the community by beating up school and community bullies. Like, as I got older, y'all, I got, you know, my violence kind of morphed into other things, okay? It didn't really get better. I was just able to control it a little better. Instead of me crucifying this side of me, because it totally misrepresented God and diluted my impact for the kingdom. But instead, y'all, I went one step further because we educated, we smart, right? We intelligent. This is what I did. That side of me that was off the chain, violent, ridiculous, just ridiculous, I named her. I gave her an alter identity name. Know what I named her? Lie Wedge. That's my name spelled backwards. I named her. I named her Lie Wedge, okay? Because she was the side of me that was totally unfiltered, off the chain, will wire out, beat you up, bust the windows out your car. Like, that was Lie Wedge. Y'all like, Pastor Jewel, oh my God. But you know what? That also, that aggression makes me a powerful worship warrior. See, those things that you got in you, this kind of what, if you turn them over to Jesus, he'll transform them, right? For his glory. He had to teach me another way to fight. That's through prayer. Okay. All right. But I'm back here. I named that side Lie Wedge. Y'all, I'm a mental health provider. It's like I totally disassociated my identity in Christ and Lie Wedge. When I need to be Lie Wedge, I totally disassociated from my identity in Christ. I ain't diluted, I disassociated. Lie Wedge, I wasn't even thinking about my identity in Christ. Lie Wedge ruled, okay? All right? But what I'm saying to you, y'all, the truth of the matter is, we don't get to separate from our identity in Christ and take on alter sins and egos. Our identity is in Christ, and it's a stand alone, and everything we do and say and act ought to flow from that identity. Okay? Y'all, when we add on things, when we add on these things, y'all, we really stop God's glory from being manifest through us in a powerful way. Why is this important, you all? Because God wants us to be the salt of the earth, okay? What I love about God is that he knew that we would be challenged in manifesting this. So one of the scriptures that helps me to realign with my identity and purpose are the scriptures that I just read to you all, okay? Now, in this very interesting political climate that we're experiencing in this country in this season, Matthew 5 becomes very impactful because Jesus in Matthew 5, he gives the disciples a kingdom identity lesson. He started off Matthew 5 with what we call, you all, the Beatitudes. And in today's language, Jesus was just sharing with his disciples that he chose his kingdom platform and the behavior of kingdom activists. And that would be us, right? So he pulled them aside and he gave them a portrait of what happens when someone's fundamental identity has been realigned and redefined by the kingdom of God. And he says this, you all, and I invite you to, when you leave here in your devotion time, to revisit that. He says, blessed are the poor in spirit. Not because poverty is virtuous, but because when you've encountered Jesus, you really realize how spiritually bankrupt you are without him. He says things like, blessed are those who mourn, not because sadness is good, but because you finally grasp the weight of sin and the cost of redemption. He goes on to just share what the kingdom of God looks like, okay? But this is where I want to end on this morning. I want to end on Matthew 5 and 13, which says, you are the salt of the earth. But if the salt loses its saltiness, how can it be made salty again? It's no longer good for anything but to be thrown out. Look here. After Jesus explained it, okay, I looked at salt and I'm like, out of all of the words you used, you could have used, why did you use salt? So let me tell you a couple things of salt about salt I want you to leave here with, okay? Salt does a couple of things. It preserves and it flavors, okay? Preserve. Church, we are God's preservation system in the earth. We are supposed to preserve his truth in a world of deception. We're supposed to preserve his character in a world of hatred. We're supposed to preserve his standards in a world of compromise. We're supposed to preserve his hope in a world of despair and his gospel in a world that needs to be saved. We were saved to preserve things like peace, love, justice, kindness, compassion, mercy, forgiveness, and the earth. We are to serve as the preservatives until Christ returns. Last point, salt flavors things, y'all. Believers should leave every environment, anywhere that we go, y'all. We should bring the flavor of Christ with us. People should taste Christ in our lives after an encounter with us. The world should see the fruit of the Spirit of God fully on display after an encounter with us if we are truly acting like salt. So the question becomes, do you enhance with your presence, or do people after you leave say, where is the salt? So I want to leave with this. I have here Morton's light salt. Now, you may say, what's light salt? Some of y'all have it in your cabinet, and I'm not judging you. Light salt, all right. I'm a healthcare provider, right? Light salt is good, but I don't know if you knew this, but light salt is part sodium chloride and potassium chloride. See, they dilute the salt, but they make it look like it's the same. Oh, y'all. Y'all know where I'm going like this. Don't be light salt. Because one thing, when you sprinkle this on your food, one thing about it, it's got a little bit of salt. You can taste the salt, but it's got an after bitter taste. Y'all know what the chef's in the house. You know what I'm talking about. I got a little bit of taste. Don't let your life be light salt. You look like salt, but you leave a bitter aftertaste. Will you stand on your feet? Look, y'all. Y'all, let's realign. Our identity in Christ means something. When we allow people, places, and things, when we add them on to who we are in Christ, we dilute the power and the opportunity for Christ to really be manifest fully in and through our lives. Do we do it? Absolutely. But I'm asking you on this morning to check yourself. In your circles on this week, look at Matthew 5 and look at the attributes of kingdom activist. You want to be an activist? Be the activist that you were called to be when you gave your heart to the Lord. Okay. If today you have not identified with Christ, today you can identify with Christ. Okay. He can be your personal Lord and Savior. Okay. If that is you, just meet me down here at the altar. Okay? After everybody, you don't have to come down there. You can come later, right? Meet me at the altar. All right? I want to pray for you and make sure that you get locked in so that you can understand what that spiritual transfer really means in the life of those who identify with Christ. If you have substituted and you know that you sought light, you can repent today. I repented for Lie Wedge, but what have you repented for? Right. Don't be salt light. It misrepresents who you are. Elder Sherm says it all the time. Did Christ get what he paid for in you? I'm telling you how to do that. Be salt. Preserve flavor for the kingdom of God. Amen, church. Amen. Praise the Lord. Let me pray over us. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May he make his face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. May the Lord lift his countenance upon you and bring you peace. Lord God, we thank you that your word is a lamp unto our feet, a light unto our path. All we have to do is say yes. A yes, Lord, is all it takes. So, Lord God, bless your people. Continue to shake us up and stir us up, Father God, so that we can be the salt of the earth. We thank you for this opportunity and this beautiful service that you've allowed us to engage in. We pray that you are exalted and lifted up. We bless you. In the matchless name of Jesus, we pray. And let the church say, amen. And praise God. Amen. Go in peace in Jesus' name.